Hallelujah. So we're going to continue on our study here, but I want to just mention a few churches here that we've already gone through. We're on our seventh church, which is the final, the Church of Laodicea tonight. I know I've talked a lot about this, but I thought it's always good to remind ourselves about these things, because I think it's wise for us to judge ourselves according to the Word of God and the example that the Lord gave us here as He spoke to these seven different churches, and where He had praised them and where He had, you know, brought correction. And if we're wise, we'll obey the Lord's instruction. We'll listen to His voice and do what He tells us to do. And we'll prosper that way. Ephesus, of course, was the church that left its first love, remember. And Smyrna was the persecuted church. Pergamos was the worldly church. Thyatira is the church of the false prophetess, Jezebel, right? And Sardis, the dead church. Philadelphia was the church of the open door, or we might call it the faithful church. This is a church that we want to model, amen? But again, I like to not only evaluate maybe our church, but my own personal life based upon these things that the Lord spoke. You know, do any of these things apply to me? You know, have I left my first love? You know, am I caught up in the world? Do I love the world? You know, am I being deceived, you know, by false doctrine and false spirits? You know, am I dead? you know, it's possible for a Christian to allow themselves to get to a place where they lose their effectiveness because there's no light, there's no witness, there's no oil. Therefore, there's no light, you know. And how many know what I'm talking about? We can let the oil run dry, right? And but I want to be in favor and in step in harmony with the Spirit, because the Lord is the one who opens door of opportunity for us. And what a joy and excitement it is to be a part of what God's doing. You know, this morning I got to do a Zoom meeting, a prayer meeting, and as I was doing that, you know, one of the staff that was carrying the little tablet around to the residents, you know, after everything was done and I'd prayed for people, they had a request. And it's what's happening is I think they're starting to open up a little bit more and feel comfortable and now asking me to pray for them. And so that opens the door, an opportunity to sow seed. And you know how God works in that way too, where, you know, you may be praying for somebody, but you're also witnessing to them as you're praying. Yeah. So you're just letting the Holy Spirit direct you, right? Sure. And in fact, I find it a lot easier to witness, amen, and to speak as you're in a prayerful mode when you're in that connection with the Spirit. Amen. So we want to be in step with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, tonight I ask you to help me. Give me grace. Give me wisdom. Grant me utterance to speak tonight, Father. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your voice. God, your word is life to us, Lord. Speak. Impart truth to our understanding tonight, Lord. Drive out darkness, deception, lies, Father, and replace it with your goodness, with your truth, Lord God. Liberate our souls, Lord. Deliver us from every hindrance and anything, God, that would hinder us from reaching our destiny with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight we're going to talk about the church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church, or some would call it the materialistic church. I've often compared America to this because we see the patterns, don't we? In fact, all of these things in different church circles. But, you know, we certainly haven't arrived. God has much more for us to do. I believe God wants us to pray more as a church and to come together more often to pray as well. And at least be here ahead of time, amen, so we can spend some time, as much as you can. I know schedules and things like that, but let's really get in. I was talking to a good friend of mine who started attending. He's been looking all over for a church. And he went to a church, I think it's up north somewhere. I can't remember exactly where. But he was saying that he found this one church that they get together pretty much as a body, you know. It's not a big church, but they get together as a body. And they're storming heaven for about an hour before they even kick off any kind of service or doing anything. And I think that's really what I like to see. I want to see that kind of... And, of course, there is a greater level of glory because you get out of it what you invest in it, you know. And God will honor the sacrifice. The thing is that we live in a society and a time where people don't want to sacrifice. They want to be comfortable and take the easy route. But if you really want to receive the greater riches, amen, there's going to have to be an investment on our part to take the time to press into God, amen, and deny ourselves, amen. And so, first of all, because God wants to get us out of the way. God wants to recharge our batteries. He wants us to be alive. He wants us to be on fire for Him. He doesn't like lukewarmness. And there's a good reason, because we're supposed to represent Him, amen. And if we're lukewarm, it's distasteful, all right? We don't want to be a mixed church, a worldly church, right? A church that loves the world and the things of this world. So let's begin in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Hallelujah. Now, the name Laodicea means justice of the people, or people ruling. Isn't that interesting? Justice of the people or people ruling. Now, I want to share another perspective on this. Think about this church as being many churches today that are liberal churches. In other words, they're no longer operating under the authority of God, but the people were operating the church like a democracy. Not a theocracy, but a democracy. How many know that in the kingdom, it's not, all right, it's a theocracy, not a democracy. It's not a popular vote thing. Amen. We'll do whatever everybody wants to do. But in some cases, that's what's happening. And any church that becomes a democracy and the people begin to rule it independent of God, amen, that becomes a dead church or a lukewarm church. Why? Because God's not in that. We will have authentic of power and authority as we are under God's authority. And as we understand how it works, that God has given authority to his people, amen? And he's set it up in the church. He has set apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers, amen, as authorities in his body. And we're supposed to work together, all of us, amen, as one body, united in Christ, each one of us having been gifted individually, uniquely. God sets us in a family, doesn't he? And you know, it's interesting but God actually strategically places people in families so that your gift is something that's actually needed there. If you feel like you're drawn here, that God has brought you here, it's because God has gifted you uniquely for something that others are going to need. And you're going to also need something that others can offer you. So we share our gifts together, amen? And that's how we grow healthy, because we can't grow, amen, being an island or being a lone ranger in the kingdom. Not healthy. Amen. He calls us to himself as his body. Amen. Under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is our head. Now, theocracy means governed by divine guidance or by officials who are divinely guided. So in this church, amen, we all, need to be divinely guided in everything we do. But there is an authority structure here, and there needs to be, because authority, a structure, amen, is preventative. It prevents, what's the word, chaos and confusion. There has to be not a dictatorship, but there has to be an understanding that God has placed certain people within the body of Christ. And guys, just because somebody has a title doesn't mean they're an authority, even in the church. Just because somebody goes to Bible college and gets a credential doesn't make them an authority necessarily. It's more than an education. It's got to be a calling. It's got to be the assignment that God has placed them in. Because you have people that are educated, amen, they have credentials, they may even be pastoring, but if they're not called to be a pastor, they're in an illegitimate authority structure, amen. They're not where they're supposed to be, and sometimes they're going to cause more damage than good because they're not where they're supposed to be. So just because somebody has a title doesn't make them that. That's why people on YouTube are all experts, you know, operating from their grandmother's basement or from the van down by the river, you know. Right? Because they're just something, they're self-appointed many times. They're not appointed by God. And guys, this is not something that we do for ourselves. I don't appoint myself. You don't appoint yourself, right? God is the one that chooses where we're going to be and what we're going to do and what capacity we're going to function. Amen? And it's not a better or lesser or more than thing where somebody will begin to compete against others for positions of notoriety or recognition within a body. Sometimes that happens. People get off in their carnal nature, in their flesh, and they start becoming competitive because they think, well, if I get to become a deacon or an elder in the church, then somehow I'm a little bit higher up on the ladder. But the bottom line is this, is that if you want to be great in the kingdom, you got to be the servant of all. Amen. That's how it works. It's not about having the title and the prestige and the position. It's about being a humble servant. Amen. And that's what God is going to reward. So no matter what you're doing, you do it as unto the Lord. Amen. And the Lord will reward you based upon your faithfulness. If somebody is assigned to a pastoral position, for example, they'll be rewarded for their faithfulness. Amen. Just like the guy who has the heart of a servant who just wants to go and help out. A gift of helps. Amen. So every gift is equally important. We need to work together because a pastor really cannot function and do his job efficiently without the help of the body working together. And that's why I want to encourage everyone to understand that it's not just to sit and listen to me or listen to the guy in the pulpit. Amen. It's about participating and becoming a partner together with Christ. Amen. In his body to find out where I can help, what I can do to serve. And we do have a lot of people that are willing here to serve, you know, and I thank God for that. As we seek the Lord together, I pray that God will stir up the heart of people so that I'm not here saying, would you do this and would you do that? They'll say, hey, you know what? I feel God is telling me to do this. They're hearing from God themselves. God will work in them both the will and to do. Amen. So God stirs up the gift within us as we seek his face. Draw near to him. Amen. Now, the city of Laodicea had its water from two different sources. One was Hierapolis, and this had these hot waters that were known for their medicinal qualities. And also another stream came in from Colossus, and that was known for its cold, pure water. Well, both these streams had to travel a long distance, okay, and these aqueducts. And so by the time it reached Laodicea, it was lukewarm, right? It's no longer hot nor cold. So they had hot springs coming in, cold springs coming in, but by the time they got to Laodicea, they were lukewarm. And here it is again that the Lord always uses examples of things people can identify with to teach, amen, so people can understand. As a farmer, a sower went out to sow, right? So the Lord uses parables, you know, to help people understand the kingdom, the things of the kingdom and his ways. So in Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, he said, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now, you know, I've always heard, and I've always, even when I was young and I heard this, and sometimes we just repeat stuff, but we say, well, God wants us on fire. Well, I would agree with that. He does want us on fire. But what he's really talking about here is not just being hot and being cold is bad. He's saying that you need to either be what? Cold or hot. But somewhere in the middle is not good. And so he's not talking about being cold spiritually or hot spiritually. He's talking about losing your effectiveness, losing your edge, losing your taste, if you will. Hot water is good, amen. Cold water is good, but if it's lukewarm, it becomes... And the water would literally sometimes make people nauseous in this city. Okay, and so that's why he's using this. He says, I'll spit you out if you're lukewarm, because it's distasteful, all right? And it's nauseating. In other words, it'll make you vomit. It could make you vomit even in those hot climates, you know? So he says, because you say in verse 17, I am rich. Now, this is really the main problem here, was that they were wealthy. And, you know, with wealth comes a greater responsibility and a stewardship, because to whom much is given, the same much is required, right? And so they had become wealthy and they felt like they didn't need anything. And this is a temptation. I don't care how spiritual we are. We have to guard ourselves against being too comfortable. And again, God is in the sacrifice. God is challenging us out of our comfort zones so that we might partner with him in his mission. And God takes us sometimes into places that are uncomfortable to our flesh, but we'll find his comfort in our spirit. You see that? I find God meets me in the place where he told me to be. Even if it's not a place that I would choose for myself, if I'm willing to obey him and go and do what he tells me to do, okay, I'll find the Lord is there in that place. You don't always feel like doing the will of God, but if you would deny yourself like Jesus did and say, I'm going to do it because God wants me to do it and I want to please the Lord, amen? And you commit yourself to do what he tells you to do, irregardless of how you feel, I know I need to pray, even though I may not feel like it. I need to read my Bible. I need to be in church. Yeah, we do this. We need to be in prayer meeting. We have to say no to self, no to the flesh. The flesh is weak. The spirit in us is willing, amen, wanting. Because we feed on the Lord. He's our life. He's our sustenance. He's our strength. Because you say you're rich, he says, you don't know that you're wretched. You're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. Now, the mercy of God is God saying through the Lord, amen, the Lord speaking to the church and saying, I love you enough to tell you the truth. You think everything is fine, but it's really not. And you're not even aware of your true condition. And you can't know your true condition unless the Lord points it out. And sometimes I don't like to hear the truth. You know, we like to think that we're just on top of our game all the time, but we're not. We're like sheep that are prone to wander. I don't care who you are. Amen. We live in a world that's full of toil and snare and traps and allurements. And we've got to be on guard. That's why we have to be watchful in prayer. Amen. So that our inner man, amen, is overcoming the outer man, the flesh man. And we have life and peace in the spirit. And you'll find that you will delight yourself in the things of God and delight yourself in the will of God. There's times, yeah, when you're going to have to struggle and overcome yourself. But if you do and you're willing to obey God in that, you'll be happy that you did. You never regret saying yes to Jesus. Now we're talking about the dangers of wealth. In 1 Timothy 6:10. How many know this real well? For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, through which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It's not money itself, right? But it's the love of money. Because money is neutral. Money is basically a tool. But we can make a god out of any tool. Amen? That new car, that new motorcycle, well, what is it? There are things that we can make gods out of. Amen. We can prioritize our hobbies before the will of God. The things I want to do, entertainment is more important. Having a good time. Well, I find that God gives the best time. Amen. The best time I've ever had is in His presence. Hallelujah. And guys, if you're not having a good time, just go a little deeper. Amen. And you'll find that there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. In the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So often riches corrupt, even good people sometimes. They're doing really good in life, you know. They're humble, they're trusting in the Lord, they're faithful, they're attending church, and then comes the new job and the opportunity, and well, I got an opportunity to make more money, so I'm gonna start working these certain hours, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, the money's getting good, and now I can start buying the things I want, and now my life wraps around the next toy I'm gonna buy. I just got a new toy, but after a few days, that got old. Now I'm looking for another toy in hopes that one of these days I'm going to just strike it to the point where I'm going to be finally happy. And what's happening in Hollywood? What's happening in our governmental system right now where they can't have enough money? There's not enough billions in the bank, you know. We got to have more. Why? Because they're trying to satisfy themselves on things that will never satisfy. The love of money is you can track the money and find out where the corruption is. Yeah. Just follow the money and you'll find out who's funding the bad, the evil, the selfish things that are happening around us. So often, even good people, if they're not careful, they can get corrupted by wealth and get into compromised situations. And again, it's not a sin to have wealth. God's not into poverty, by the way. Can you say amen? And some people think, well, God wants us all poor and living in a trailer. No. It's just we all have a different cup to drink in this life. Some people will have more than others. But whatever you do have, just be good with that. Be a faithful steward over that. Amen. And God will reward you equally based upon your faithfulness. But when you have more, you're prone to more temptation. Amen. To forget God. And start to trust in the wealth. Guys, I know what it's like to think about, well, I got this money in the bank, then we should be okay if this happens or that happens. And you know, and if you don't, you're thinking, oh, man, what's going to happen if that happens, right? And so, I mean, this is a human thing that we deal with, all right? That sometimes the insecurity, okay, that comes along with whether you have or you don't have. And we've been in both places where we've had. We've been in places where we haven't had. And God's allowed us to do that, to taste what it's like, okay? But I believe that, again, we are responsible as stewards over what we own, understanding who we got it from in the first place, who blessed us with it, all right? And so sometimes some of the happiest people are the people that have the least. The most joyful Christians sometimes, the rich in faith, amen, are the ones that have the least because they've learned to find their treasure in the Lord. They delight in Him. Hallelujah. He satisfies them. They're not worried about tomorrow because they know God's got it. Hallelujah. And God is trying to take us to a place, guys, where we really trust Him. Where we really learn how to let go of worry and fear and these things that the enemy tries to heap on us. Amen. Whenever the enemy starts to throw fear and worry on you, what do? You run to Jesus. Amen. Get alone if you have to. Get alone with God and cry out to God and pour out your heart to Him, worship and praise, and let your mind and your spirit, amen, just be filled with Jesus. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden you say, man, it wasn't as bad as it looked. And all of a sudden you're starting to hear God say, well, here, have you thought about this? Well, have you thought about that? Here's a strategy for you. Just do this. And sometimes we're at the last minute. We're, oh, God, what are we going to do? We're just about ready to run out here. And then all of a sudden, the phone call or the something comes in the mail or the Pentecostal handshake, they say, you know. I don't know if Lutherans do that or whatever, but you know, Pentecostal Presbyterians. One of them, sanctified handshakes. And you give somebody a gift because God told you to. And you know we should take care of each other. Best we can. Amen. So I'm talking to the choir here. You guys understand these things. But we do have to guard against greed. Because it's interesting that it seems like the more you have, the more prone you are to get into greed. Have you ever discovered that? It's like, or you can become more possessive. It's like you got more, but now you want to even be more tight-fisted when you have more. Always wondering if this is going to be enough. This may not be enough. Maybe I need more. This may not be enough. Maybe I need more. And the best way to protect yourself from becoming greedy is doing what? Giving. Amen. Being faithful. Tithing is a great thing. We do it. We practice it in grace. Okay, not in law, but in grace we practice tithing because it keeps us in check. And not only tithing, we give all above and beyond that as well. And we've always found that God has taken care of us. You know, when we started doing this back when we were young Christians, you know, at first we were kind of like a little bit skeptical and a little bit struggling with that whole idea. But we found God to be faithful. And so now it's like it goes without saying. Give God the first. Amen. And but they do produce, riches do produce a false sense of security. 1 Timothy 6:8, and having food and clothing, with these things we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich, see, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And remember, it is the Lord that actually gives us power to get wealth. So he's not against you having wealth, and he'll give you wisdom, he'll give you a strategy, he'll show you what to do. Amen. But understand that when you do receive, amen, you're a steward of it, and you want to be faithful to the Lord. All right. Honor the Lord with the first fruit of your increase. So be careful not to set your heart on money. It becomes an idol then. And let God guide you in how to use your money. And what would you say would be a wise investment of your money? How about helping others in need, right? How about investing in supporting God's work here in the earth, right? Churches, missions, other ministries, you know. You know, we've never been embarrassed when we've had guests come. You know, am I right, Bruce? Because this congregation has always been so gracious that we've always been able to bless our guests, you know, and they always comment of how loved they feel when they're here. You know, they just say, man, there's so much love here. And, you know, it's like a family atmosphere. I feel right at home. And you know, that speaks well. And it's because the love of God is in you. Amen. Say amen, somebody. I'll say amen if you don't. So, but the Church of Laodicea lost three things. Number one, it lost its value, and it lost its purity and its vision. He said in verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, gold, and that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. So gold, white garments, and eye salve. Amen. Now, gold really speaks of divine righteousness. Refined in the fire. Pure gold is gold that is refined. Amen. In the fires. And 1 Peter 1:7 says, these trials, this is a New Living Translation, will show you the trials of life, will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Hallelujah. In the New King James Version, it says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, talking about earthly gold, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I have a saying that I share often with you, but oh, it's over my desk. It says, one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Amen. So there's no U-Hauls going to heaven. Amen. So the fiery trials of life do what? They test how genuine our faith really is. You don't really know what you're made of until you go through something. And I found myself to be weak at times when I thought I was strong. Because all of a sudden it's like I got served a curveball. And I wasn't being as watchful as I should have been. Amen? You don't wait until the trial, amen, to prepare. You should be prepared every day because you don't know what a day is going to bring. Come on, somebody, amen. So what were the white garments? The white garments were to hide their shame. All right? This is really speaking of practical righteousness or moral righteousness. Moral purity. God gives us the robe of His righteousness. The Lord provides, right? His righteousness, His garment. We talked about that a few weeks ago, about the wedding, amen, and how it's the Lord who provides, amen, the garment for the guests at the wedding. Hallelujah. So our own garments are no good. There has to be an exchange of garments. In Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 3, we see Joshua, the high priest here, was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. In verse 4, then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. Take away, right, first. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. So there has to be an exchange, the old for the new. You can't patch up an old garment, right? You can't improve on the old thing. You've got to get rid of the old and become new in Christ. Amen. And you must be clothed in His righteousness in order to be faultless before His throne. So we see him here as the high priest Joshua being clothed with these filthy garments. And, you know, this was really a picture of the priesthood of Israel. And, of course, Satan was where? Right there to oppose, right? He's the adversary. He's the accuser of the brethren. And he accused Israel of being unfit to carry out its priestly function. However, the angel promises that the nation will be cleansed and invested with rich robes. How many know that all Israel will be saved? God is not given up on His ancient people. Amen. And yet we all have to come the same way. We all have to come through the cross, amen, through the blood of Jesus in order to be made right with Him. Hallelujah. God's no respecter of persons. God chose Israel with a specific, unique purpose in the earth as His representatives. When the world looked at Israel, they were supposed to see a model of what God was like. Amen? Today, you and I, amen, are the spiritual Israel in Christ, the church. God still has plans for the national Israel, for national Israel, but we being the spiritual Israel, the church, amen, God has now blessed us with every blessing in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. We've got it good, guys, don't we? Hallelujah. So true righteousness comes from the Lord, not from me. Not from you. So some people have a beautiful earthly wardrobe. But what really matters is that we're clothed in God's divine righteousness. And now the third thing that the Lord counseled the Laodiceans about was eyesalve, that they needed this eyesalve. Of course, that was one of the products that they produced in Laodicea. So again, using a natural illustration to teach a spiritual principle. And so he was saying that you need vision. You need to be able to see clearly. You need discernment. Boy, do we need discernment today, don't we? In America? Man, and the church needs discernment. Sometimes people do some crazy stuff. I'm thinking, how could you do that? How could you not see that that was wrong? You know? And guys, let's face it, sin blinds. If we start collaborating with the enemy, you know, and compromising with the enemy, He's going to pluck your eyes out, just like he did Samson. You'll find yourself walking around blindly and thinking you're doing fine. See, that was the problem with Laodicea. They thought they were doing fine, but they really were not. And how many know that there are others around us that can see where we're at, where we may not be aware of it? In our own minds, you may be thinking we're doing fine, but ever say, man, whatever happened to Joe? I hope Joe's not here tonight, by the way. What happened to Sally? There's no Sallys here, I can safe to say. You know, but Joe and Sally thought, hey, they're just doing fine until the Lord turns the light on. Praise God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Thank God that He does that. Amen. That He makes us aware of our true need for Him. Because the only way the world is going to get Jesus is that you and I are in harmony with Him. Amen. And that we are leaning upon Him for power and grace each day so that the world will have a witness of Jesus through us. But if we're self-sufficient, then they're not going to see Christ because they're just going to get us. Amen. And how many know that you and I are incapable of bearing any good fruit or changing hearts? You can talk to people till you're blue in the face. It makes a big difference. So if you're talking by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, amen, the same message. Now there's power in that message, amen. And it's able to bring a change, to bring vision, to bring discernment. It's light that, you know, shines in the darkness. Now, when Jesus was here on the earth, remember, he went around and he healed. And he restored sight to the blind. But he also came to give us spiritual sight. Some people just focus on the miracles and the natural things that Jesus will do, you know. And I thank God you got a healing the other day, right? Amen. We thank God for that. But it's greater than that, isn't it? The Lord wants us to be healed, most importantly, in our soul. Amen. He wants to restore the whole person. He wants to make the whole person whole. And so some people, they're just focusing on their immediate needs or their physical needs. And God, I need a better job, or I need a place to stay, or, you know, whatever it is. Or I have this illness and I need some healing. Those are all things that God knows about. And the Lord said, well, seek me first above everything else. Amen. And you're not going to have to worry about those things. In his timing, these things will come. We don't know how he's going to do it, but we need to believe that he will do it. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world and even our flesh, amen, that would speak contrary to what God promises. So we got to get a hold of God's promise and hold on to that, amen. I'm believing God's promise for America. I'm believing we're going to have a turnaround in this nation. Hallelujah. But we need God's divine eye salve. We need the anointing of the Spirit, amen, to see clearly, to be able to discern. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when you go to buy a used car, you need discernment. You need to be able to know the Lord's voice, don't you? Because some of those salespeople are pretty slick. And it can make it look so good. This car is for you, Joe. You know, we're really taking a hit on this, Joe. But for you, we're going to make a special deal. What do you think, Joe? Run, Joe. Run for the hills. Anyways, getting back on track here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. You know, guys, Satan blinds people from knowing the truth. And that's why we should never listen to him. We should never compromise, bow down to him in any way. Amen. Because you're giving him permission to mess you over. And how many know he's done enough damage already, right? 1 John 2:11, but he who hates his brother is in darkness. If we don't forgive and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, even though you may think you do, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. John 8 and verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Amen. Verse 19, as many as I love, he said, I rebuke and chasten, because he's a good father. He's a good, good father, right? Therefore, be zealous and repent. Why? Because God gives you a space of time to repent. Some people think one of these days, and sometimes one of these days never happens for people. We don't know. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Today is the day to get these things right. Get your house in order. Be ready to meet the Lord. We don't know what tomorrow holds. So the good thing, guys, is if we're able to realize that we're spiritually blind, or that we're naked, you know, in the sense that we're not clothed in the Lord. I know, guys, that if I don't pray sufficiently, amen, then I will feel vulnerable spiritually. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Yeah. There's a certain sense of vulnerability when you haven't prayed up properly, and you're not ready even for your day out among the people of the world, for example, right? And the pressure that, and the peer pressure, you know, that could come on you. If you're not armored up, if you're not strong in the Lord, then you can compromise and succumb to that and give in and go along with what the crowd thinks is best rather than what God says. And we could potentially even deny the Lord because we were not strong in Him, but we tried in our own strength to live for Him. True spiritual riches are found in the Lord, in Christ. So all that we have need of, I love this verse, one of my favorites, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. There's no excuse for being lukewarm when we have access to the throne of grace. Amen? And it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants His children to be well supplied, well oiled, right? Well watered gardens. Hallelujah. Verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. This is a solution to lukewarmness, is fellowship with Jesus. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Hallelujah. Yes, God wants fellowship with us. God wants friendship with us. Hallelujah. Life is good in the God zone. Now listen, these letters were not intended to condemn the church, but to encourage, to correct, and to restore the church to its fruitfulness. Amen. Or effectiveness. So again, realizing that we need God is a good thing. Realizing that we're poor in spirit is a good thing. Amen. Because then we will come to Him and drink. We'll be filled with the Lord. Hallelujah. A lot of people, they come and they sit, but they're not open because they don't really have a sense need. Even though they may have a need, they're not aware of their need. Because they're not able to even realize they have a need until the Lord reveals it to them. And if a person is proud, well, the Lord's not going to give His grace to a proud person. So God takes sometimes them out behind the shed and breaks the person down a little bit. Gives them an attitude adjustment, humbles them. So then they're in the right position to come back and get restored, amen, and receive of the Lord what they have need of and realize where their help comes from. And that apart from Him, we can do nothing. We must lean on the Lord, amen, in order to fulfill our destiny, to do the will of God that concerns us. We must learn how to lean on Jesus. Guys, this is a walk of faith. You see, some people's Christianity is something that they can do within their own strength and their own wisdom. In other words, a person can act like a Christian but not be a Christian. A person who is born of God's Spirit, amen, receives, in a sense, a wound of their soul to where they know that they now need grace. Amen. When we're proud and self-sufficient, I don't need God. What do I need God? I'm rich. I have everything I need, right? But when God deals with a person, deals with our soul, in a sense, we're like Jacob, amen, whose hip was put out of socket. So the rest of his life, he halted, amen. Every time he took a step, he was reminded, amen, of that time and that he was going to rely upon the grace of God, amen. The same thing is true, that God does that in our soul. And the more that we realize our need of God, the better off we are. Somebody say amen. I know we're self-sufficient naturally. We don't want to be under the authority of anybody. Our natural man is a rebel. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, God says, oh yeah? Peter was very stubborn, very outspoken, very proud, very self-sufficient. Thought that within himself he had what he needed to not deny the Lord, but to be one of the chief apostles. And the Lord said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But the good news was that he had prayed, right? But I have prayed that your faith would not fail. So Peter had to be broken. Remember, the time came when Peter had denied the Lord. Amen. And it says that eventually he came to himself when he went out and he wept bitterly. He was broken. And he was the one that said, I'm not going to be, legend has it, he was not going to be crucified the same way the Lord was. And so he was crucified upside down. This is the same one who thought within himself that he was strong and realized later on that he did need the Lord in order to, amen, to be the apostle that he was called to be. And the same thing is true for all of us. And that's why the world sometimes looks at Christians and think, oh, you guys, you're just weak and you need a crutch. The problem with the world is that they don't realize that they need the Lord. Amen. We do. That's God's grace that brings us to a place, amen, where we can be a user-friendly vessel. We've got to be a pliable lump of clay in His hands. Amen. So God has to work on us. He has to allow things to happen in our lives and bring us to a place to where now we know where our source comes from where our help comes from. Amen. And the good thing is that, you know, God rewards us for anything that we've had to suffer in this life. So sometimes, guys, the people that are suffering the most are going to have the greatest reward as long as you handle it correctly. Okay? Amen. Don't get bitter at God. Don't get mad at God. Don't accuse God. Keep your hand to the plow. Trust His heart. Even if you don't understand with your mind, His ways are not our ways. And His thoughts are not our thoughts. So trust the Lord's heart in every situation. And so it was in mercy that God, I'm finished, allowed Laodicea to see their true condition so that they would repent and turn back to Him before it was too late.